as we worship and praise and celebrate God, is Jesus still weeping for the same cause? And so to answer the question, we need to understand just what it is that broke the heart of the Son of God. And so we look back at Luke 19:38. We see again the people were praising God. They were shouting out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And what they're actually doing is they're quoting Psalm 118. And what's interesting is my sister this morning, when she came up to pray, she wrote from Psalm 118. And we didn't coordinate this. This is something she came up with all on her own. And I leaned over to my friend Larry and I said, "Yeah, this is in my sermon." But this is known as the Messianic Psalm. And it's a psalm that not only describes something that was happening in the time that it was written, but it's also a prophetic aspect. They're looking ahead to the day when the Messiah, when Jesus would come and deliver his people. And so I want to go back to that, and I want to start at verse 19 as we read it. "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you." Now let's look at this. Who is the gate of righteousness? Jesus. Through whom may righteousness enter? Jesus. Who has become our salvation? Jesus. Who was the stone that the builders rejected? It's Jesus. This messianic psalm, and as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that day, the people made the connection between that which has come, that which was written, and that which was taking place. And so they cried out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But Jesus wept. And he wept because he knew. He knew that many who cried out in the name of the Lord would reject the truth of God in favor for the lies of men. So what's the truth that's rejected? They were rejecting the truth of a suffering Savior. You see, it didn't fit into their plans. They rejected the truth of a servant king. Why? Because it didn't fit into their preconceptions. They rejected the truth of a crucified Lord because it didn't fit with their understanding of what God was doing. And yet it was all there to see. It was already written. It was something they should have already known. Because we turn to Isaiah 53 and we begin in verse 1. "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid him on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for this, his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He had put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. This was written by a prophet centuries ago, before this. It's there in black and white. They wanted a God made in their own image, one that they fashioned with their own thoughts and ideas. They wanted a king who would do things that they wanted him to do, who fit into the box of their own making. They wanted a savior that would change everything but cost them nothing. In truth, they wanted the same God that many people today desire. And so Jesus wept because people, according to Luke 19:44, did not recognize the time of God's coming. The same crowds that praised him on this day are going to be the same ones who are going to be yelling to have him crucified just several days later. They looked for a Messiah who would usher in a physical kingdom in the here and now, one who would overthrow the Romans and establish Israel as its own nation once again. They looked for a kingdom to come by violence, but Jesus came to usher in a different kingdom. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom. And his kingdom is about making people a new creation, not nations. It was not a kingdom brought about by his use of violence, but by his refusal to use violence to accomplish the task that God had given him. It was a kingdom established on the very word of God and upon the obedience of Jesus to his heavenly Father. And so Jesus is weeping because the people would exchange the ways of God for the ways of the world. But yet Jesus says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." But what are we reading this morning? We read that Jesus weeps, and he weeps as he says, "Would you, even you, had known on this day the things that would make for peace?" And they didn't see it. They wouldn't know the peace that Jesus offered. They would go and do their own thing in their own way. And he wept because he knew that they were exchanging life for death. In Isaiah, we read that we are all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When we go our own way, when we turn our backs on God, we lay up for ourselves a fearful store of iniquity. And iniquity is a word for sin. Jesus wept because he knew that when we go our own way, we store up for ourselves a fearsome judgment. The vast majority of the Jewish people would not accept the peace nor the life that Jesus offered to him. They would seek it on their own and in their own way. Jesus knew the heartache and the brokenness and the shattered lives that were to come. And it's exactly what happened. If you read your history, you'll know roughly 40 years after Jesus died, the Jewish people rose up in revolt. They tried to usher in a kingdom of their own hands, and the Romans laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And by the time it was all done, over 600,000 Jews were put to death. The temple itself was destroyed, and as Jesus prophesied, not one stone was left standing on another. And so we know why Jesus wept so those days ago, and why the crowd was cheering. So what does God want from us today on this Palm Sunday? Well, I think the first thing is God wants us to see ourselves as we really are. Revelation 3:17 tells us, "For I say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." We need to see ourselves as we really are. And so who are we? Well, we're sinners separated from God by our sin. And we're powerless to atone for our sin on our own capacity before a holy God. Apart from Jesus Christ, this is our reality. And we need to understand this because this is the starting point. To know who we are, to know what we need, And when we do this, we can come to Jesus to repent and be made in a new image of Christ. We need to see ourselves as we are so that we understand this need. And when we see ourselves in this light, as sinners in need of salvation, then we can come face to face with the Savior. In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we are honest with ourselves and we see ourselves in our honest capacity, we receive this in Jesus. We receive the mercy of God. And it leads me to my second point. God wants us to receive new life through Jesus. I know many of you know John 3:16 and you have it memorized. So say it with me. "For God so loved the world, he gave his own and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now the next verse is just as important, and it's overlooked sometimes. But it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That is the heart of God for us, that we would believe in his Son, that we would accept the truth that which the Word of God says about Jesus. That if you believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, your sins have not just been forgiven, they've been paid for in full. You now have a life in Jesus and peace with God. This is the gospel message. This is the heart of God, that you would believe in his Son, Jesus, and develop a personal relationship with him so that through him you would not perish but have eternal life. And it leads me to my third point. God wants you to know him. That sounds like such a simple thing, and I know I keep saying it. There were lots of people lining the streets that day who were cheering Jesus into the city. And they knew a lot about God. They knew a lot about him. They could recite stories of those who had gone before. They could tell you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They could tell you about David and Samuel and Elijah. They knew what God had done and what he had said he was going to do. But they did not know God intimately. If they did, they never would have missed Jesus and who he was. In John 17:3, Jesus sums this up. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ in whom you sent." Now, in the East, to know someone goes beyond knowing about somebody, right? This is not a shallow relationship or a business acquaintance. In the East, to know carries the connotation of experientially knowing. Having experienced this person, you know it in a far different way than if you just knew about it. It's about a depth and intimacy of relationship. So, for example, if I told you or described love to you, I could, right? The reality is we could learn about love. But until you experience love, you don't really know anything about it. See, God's desire is that you know him and his Son, Jesus Christ. That you would experience life with them. That you would have a deep intimacy with them. And this is God's loving desire for you. And God wants this for you because there is a fearsome judgment awaiting those who reject the truth of God and accept the lies of the world. Those who do not recognize the timing of God's coming. Those who exchange the ways of God for the ways of man. And there's many people blind to this truth today. They want pleasure without pain. They want blessing without trial. They want hope without sacrifice. They want life without death. They want all the benefits of the kingdom of heaven: peace, joy, love, security, hope, and so on. But they don't want it without any responsibility or humbling of themselves. What they really want is a kingdom without a cross. When Jesus looked upon Jerusalem that day, he saw people who wanted the very same things. He knew that many of them were cheering for him in those moments would cry out for his death. He knew they would reject him and turn away. And yet still knowing all of this, he went and he died for them and for us. He died for people who crave all these things. That is the depth of his love for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for providing a way for us, Lord, to come back to you. Thank you for reconciling. Thank you, God, for what you have done. Lord, we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we thank you for providing that. Holy Spirit, would you just come and reveal to us today something new of you? God, just reveal to us how we can be more intimate with you, how we can be closer to you. And God, I lift this up to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, we're going to enter into a time of communion. The way this works is I'm going to ask the elders to come down and give me a hand. We are going to pass out the elements to you. I ask that you hold off taking them until we can take them all together. And
it was midnight.
Just going to have a couple of quiet moments.
When the announcement was made, they were having Jesus' funeral outside his garden grave. So great was the crowd that gathered at that dark and lonely place as they told of the greatness of Jesus, a look of loss on each face. Tears filled the eyes of many. Others were seized by fear. If he was who he claimed to be, then how'd he wind up here? All I know is I could not see, Bartimaeus cried aloud. Then Jesus opened my blinded eyes and a hush covered the crowd. I was caught in the act of adultery when they threw me at his feet, Mary cried. All I know is that he showed real mercy to me. I only had a picnic lunch, I heard a small voice say. Jesus blessed the 5 loaves and 2 small fish and made an all-you-can-eat buffet. On and on, they just kept coming with amazing stories to tell, like the woman who was forever changed when she met Jesus at the well. Hey, let me tell you my story, Lazarus loudly said. Jesus gave life back to me, and I know I was dead. On and on, they just kept coming. So great was his fame. If they think they can hold him here, someone said, why, they're all insane. Then all at once, the place got quiet, except for a hideous sound. Laughing, Satan himself showed up, just walking, pacing up and down. Fools, all of you, I heard Satan cry. Your God is dead and buried. Why, you all saw him die. Then like a mighty rushing wind in walked the Holy Ghost. Satan took 2 steps back, trembling, surrounded by a heavenly host. Why are you here? Satan screamed when the Holy Ghost turned abrupt. The master left a wake-up call with the Father, and I just come to wake him up. When should I move the stone? Michael, the angel of war, asked. When you see the sunrise, the Holy Ghost said, then you can do the task. Watch the stone, Satan cried, as demons fill the place. Over my dead body will he ever rise, the Holy Ghost said, whatever it takes. Then the first ray of sunshine broke through with morning light. What happened next was awesome and such an amazing and glorious sight. With just a little push, Michael rolled the stone away. On the cold, hard slab of death, there the body of Jesus lay. Demons tried to hold him down as death rattled his chest. Hold him fast, Satan screamed, and death replied, I'm doing my best. Then a demon shrieked, I saw him move. Another cried, it's true. I don't think we can hold him here. We're doing all we can do. It was such an amazing thing to see death itself giving birth. As the morning sun came up, thunder rolled and a quake shook the earth. Oh, my my God, I heard Death say as Jesus opened up his eyes. You should have seen the look on old Death's face when Jesus said, you got that right. It showed on Satan's face as with fear his heart was seized. Satan trembled and demons ran as Jesus shook the keys. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? As all of hell was shaken, all of heaven began to sing. You could hear the applause of heaven as God himself rose from the throne. Death had been defeated, and there was a celebration going on. So I guess this funeral is over. He's no longer in the ground. Jesus rose with great power, proving you can't keep a good man down. So with a great ovation of praise, lift your voice and shout. Satan has lost the battle, and of that there is no doubt. Now let all the earth rejoice and all creation sing. Jesus is alive and well, and forever the King of Kings.
On that night, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. I do this for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he took the cup. He said, "This is my new covenant in my blood. I do this for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
So this last song is a prayer. It's both, take my all, my lips, my life, my feet, my voice. I just, as we sing this as a closing prayer, may that be our prayer that takes all of us. Please stand with us.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. My lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take Thy silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my love, my God, I pour. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee, ever only all for Thee.
Amen.
As we enter into this holy week of Easter, I just want to encourage us to be in the Word this week and maybe be reading up on exactly what transpired in this week and what's coming for next weekend, that when we gather next week, we'd have such an incredible time of Easter together. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He turn His face towards you and be gracious unto you. May He raise His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.